Welcome to Topical Talks with Title Research. My name is Anthony Allsop and I'm Head of Business here at Title Research. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Emma Baddeley of Inheritance Data. For those of you who are listening to your first episode, Topical Talks is a podcast brought to you by genealogical research and asset repatriation specialists Title Research. In each episode, we speak to a highly regarded legal professional about their area of expertise. So let me give you a brief introduction to today's guest, Emma Baddeley, who is Director of Strategic Relationships at Inheritance Data. Emma has over 20 years experience at senior client-facing level. She's worked extensively in the legal sector, enabling both Silver Circle and SME law firms to outsource business processing, and more recently, within the will and probate sector, to provide a range of legal service solutions to private client teams, estate planners and will writers. Emma has regularly been part of will and probate industry roundtable discussions, presented advice and best practice guidance to will and probate clients, and is part of the highly successful Women in Wills group. Today, we'll be focusing our conversation on the important aspects of financial asset searches in estate administration. So welcome, Emma, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for that great introduction. It's made me sound far more important than I think I probably am, but thank you.
I hope I delivered it well.
Yes, absolutely. Very good.
So we're going to talk about, obviously, inheritance data and financial asset searches. So I think probably a good place to start is if you could give us a bit more background about yourself and inheritance data as a business.
Sure, absolutely. So I think you've given some really good background about me, but I think that perhaps the more recent relevant thing is to say that in terms of working with law firms and legal practitioners, I've been working in that sector since 2013, was in the city before that. More recently, I've been involved particularly in providing services to both the conveyancing and the wills and probate sector. And it's been really interesting this year to make the jump from dealing with both of those sectors and to jump into focusing just on wills and probate. So this is a sector that I'm really passionate about. And inheritance data is really passionate about making sure that we repatriate missing assets to beneficiaries. And I think this is a really key time to be focusing on that, particularly with the dreadful crisis that we're going through. You know, sadly, we are seeing more families lose loved ones, and we're also seeing many more families financially struggling. And it's just become more important than ever to make sure that estates are fully administered and that all the assets that people are due are located so that people can at least benefit from receiving what's due to them. So inheritance data really sort of started 10 years ago with our founder, Bruce Kane, who at the time was an air hunter. A company that tracked down missing heirs. So lots of genealogical research involved in that. And at the time, air hunting was restricted to a couple of very key firms that did it, but then the market kind of opened up to a lot more players. So there was a stage where I think he felt that the air hunting side of his business would naturally diminish. And what he realised was that he didn't have any of the information about any of the estates that they were working on where they were trying to track down these beneficiaries. So that's where inheritance data began, because he and the team then started building a database of information so that he could go out, search for these missing assets and provide that information back to the executors who could then go and claim those assets.
Okay, thank you. And I think so, lost assets is not something that's unique to certainly England and Wales, is it? It is a sort of global issue, but I think it's more prevalent in this country in terms of the solutions that are actually available now. I know there's a few other businesses that focus on this. So I guess what sort of drove inheritance data into this market specifically?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think it's a big problem in the UK. So it's certainly not restricted to the UK. We know that lost assets and unclaimed assets is a big problem globally. Obviously, we focus on the UK. And what drove us really, I think, to start delving into this market was the realization with some horror that the extent of the amount of money that's missing in terms of lost assets is phenomenal. So to give you an example, in UK bank accounts alone, you are looking at £1.2 billion worth of assets that have not been claimed. If you look at the pensions industry, it's £2 billion worth of assets that have not been claimed. And when you extrapolate that figure out for the investment part of the pension pot, it's actually £200 billion. So that there are lots of very frightening figures like that that apply also to NS&I, share registers and other types of assets. So the really we were driven to do something about this because we were seeing that not only was the pot of unclaimed assets huge, and this was these assets weren't being claimed, they weren't being repatriated to people, but actually people just weren't aware of the extent of it. And estates were not being properly administered, not necessarily because the executive doesn't know what they're doing, but because they simply didn't know how to go and track down assets that they didn't know about. It's one thing to know there's a bank account and have the bank account number in Salt Co. That's easy to find. But if you are one of the countless people, and there are many, who thinks they know where everything is, or even realises they don't know where everything is, but actually once you start delving into it, assets turn up, then you know this is a vital service to be able to track down all of those different missing assets. And you know, one thing we hear a lot in the industry, although not from our clients, because they now know, you know, that actually this is the situation and therefore it's best practice to do a search, but we hear a lot from people that, you know, they don't really think there's a problem because their clients definitely know where all their assets are. And we would simply say to that can't be true, because the amount of money in the unclaimed asset pots is increasing year on year. So it wouldn't be increasing if people were finding the missing assets. So the reality is they're simply not. So in a nutshell, we have a huge problem in the UK, and one that is growing year on year. It's absolutely catastrophic how this amount of money is sitting unclaimed in these different asset pools. And when I talk to probate lawyers or estate administrators or will writers about this, they are absolutely gobsmacked at the statistics I give them. So, yeah, you know, we're driven by a need to make sure the industry changes so that people start to find these missing assets regularly, and by getting this money back to the people who rightfully deserve it on our audit.
It's huge figures, isn't it? And to an extent, when I think about it on a personal level, you can understand why it's a growing problem, because you mentioned pensions, and it's fair to say that people move around in employment terms a bit more than they perhaps used to. There's less of the notion of a job for life and things like that. And every new role, you get a new pension plan. I think I've got several over my career, and I imagine there are people out there with many, many more. And it can become difficult to keep track of just in that one particular area.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. People moving house over and over, people getting divorced and changing name. The pension thing is a very relevant point. I've also got probably 7 or 8, and probably much like you, sort of, you know, years ago when one first started working, you'd actually get an annual statement and a piece of paper, and you'd have something to show for your pension scheme. It might be a little bit easier to keep track of it. But of course, everything now is workplace pension. It's all digital. It's all online. You might have a password to log in, an account with Nest. I actually am clueless, to be quite honest, as to where a lot of my information is held, although I know it's there. And it's a job I keep saying my financial advisor has to do, to put all these things together for me in one pot. But I mean, you know, we if you do an asset search on a living person, which is a different type of search that we're not talking about today, you will often turn up things that they've completely forgotten that they have, which is sometimes really nice if you discover a couple of pensions that you're missing. It's very clear how things have got out of control, it's been going out of control for a number of years. So doing an asset search will ensure that you will locate all of the missing assets, or if you don't, you at least have a record of the financial institution looking for you and giving you a response, whether it's a non-match or a match, and you've then got some sort of cover and recourse if something later turns up. that's a sort of separate issue, but you're covered for that too. You know, things do come up after they've been found, after the file has been closed. And actually doing a search, you know, an asset search also covers you for that eventuality because you've done the due diligence in the first place. So yeah, there's a lot of mess out there, but fortunately there are some good solutions to try to sort of start to chip away at the problem.
Absolutely. So I guess obviously we're here talking in the sort of private client world, aren't we? So we're talking about the administration of estates and deceased assets and things like that. So why is it, in your view, such an important area for legal professionals in this area to conduct a financial asset search?
Well, I think quite simply, as probably all your listeners will know, and you will know, an executor is responsible for an estate in perpetuity. So that obligation to ensure that the estate is properly administered, all the assets are located and distributed to beneficiaries, never leaves them. That can be quite daunting for somebody who has never been involved in being an executor before. They will often then appoint a solicitor to be their executor, or they might appoint an estate management company to be an executor. But either way, the obligation exists. And so, if you don't locate all of the assets at the time that you're administering the estate, there can be some quite worrying implications for the executors and also the beneficiaries. So if an asset later comes to light, which was not found originally, and that asset is of a value which increases the estate enough, and it doesn't have to be very much, then actually the wrong inheritance tax forms may well have been filed. So there are thresholds for inheritance tax. And if, as in one case scenario that we often talk about, you have a situation, say, where you find an asset, there's £10,000 in that bank account. This is a real case study that's happened many times with our clients, and that takes it over the IHT threshold, the wrong form has been filed. So at best, the solicitor or whomever is administering the estate has got to go back and redo some of the work they've already done. They've got to resubmit IHT forms. There are also fines for incorrectly submitted inheritance tax declarations. So there's some very serious implications of getting it wrong. And also there are costs involved in reopening these files. So probate solicitors will often say to me, it's the bane of our lives when years after or months after a case has been closed, we have a client coming back to us and saying, oh, we discovered another asset. Or we think there's something here, we found a card in house clearance or whatever it might be. And then they have to reopen the file again because there's not really any money in the law for the law firm in reopening it, but morally they need to do that. So it can be a real mess if you don't find all the assets up front. You have an obligation to do so as an executor. And moreover, if you do have to reopen the file and more costs are incurred, it's quite understandable that the beneficiaries and executors feel they shouldn't have to pay that. If the obligation was to find all the assets in the first place and that hasn't been done. And that's where actually when you do an asset search through the inheritance data service on your platform, then actually you do get that warranty now where you're covered that if something later comes to light, the proof is there that the financial institutions were notified, they were asked, and they've either A, given the wrong response that something exists or doesn't exist, or they haven't responded. And occasionally that might happen. And in which case you've then got an insurance policy that will pay out up to £10,000 of costs for up to 6 years after the file was closed, should the file need to be reopened on finding more assets. And then those costs don't have to be borne by the executors. So I think number one, it's best practice. Do a search on every probate. That is now industry best practice. Do it at the beginning. You've covered your obligations as an executor. You've done your duty to your beneficiaries, and you've covered yourself and your beneficiaries in terms of any additional costs in the future should an asset then subsequently come to light. So there really isn't any, there's every good reason to do it. And there's every worrying implication if you don't do it.
There's some common themes there that sort of tally up with the things that we talk about quite regularly, especially when we're talking about assets, but the same theme actually with genealogy and when you're dealing with intestacy, there's best practice, due diligence, demonstrating best efforts, and it all sort of wraps into risk mitigation, essentially, which as an executor or PR is a pretty big area of concern, I would say. So it really supports that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think being an executive is quite a scary thing, actually. It's a big obligation. And it's so easy to get it right, but so often it's not, you know, it can go wrong. And I think, you know, we want to make sure that everyone is protected, but also passionately support getting money back to their rightful owners, particularly in this climate.
Absolutely. Just sort of delving a bit deeper into the processes that sit behind it. So I know inheritance data very much have a focus on technology, and that there may well be a misconception that an asset search is done in full in a very sort of traditional fashioned way, i.e. sort of writing letters and sending them off to the financial institutions, which I know you do, but also there is this focus on technology, so linking directly into the bigger share registrars and things like that to try and get the, not instant responses, although I know they are in some instances, but to really get a sort of quick turnaround on this. That's an area of focus for you at the moment. Is that something that you're continually looking to build on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to a degree one can only develop as fast as some of the financial institutions will allow in terms of their processes. Yeah. Reassuringly, there's a huge number of financial institutions that we deal with that have really embraced the technology as well. So our search portal, which is the portal at the client end where they submit the search, also is being used at the financial institution end. So they're very easily able and very quickly able to input the result of the search that we've done, either to tell us there's a match or no match there for the deceased. So that's great. But yeah, you're quite right. There are still some instances where they will only respond by email. That's still technology, which is great. It's better than snail mail. And our back office will make sure that the email responses are recorded into the portal. And that, as you say, there are still some financial institutions that will insist on writing. But either way, all of that information is recorded and it's still uploaded within the portal. So in terms of the technology, having this online portal, which is really simple to use, and not in the least bit onerous for the client, so whether that be, you know, the probate solicitor, the will writer, the estate administrator, is crucial, because technology is playing a really big role now in the probate industry, which I'm really pleased to see. And having come across more laterally from working both within sort of conveyancing software and probate software, what we have long seen in the conveyancing sector is now starting to work its way, particularly this year. I think we'll see some big changes in the probate sector where it's really being revolutionised by the use of technology. And it's long overdue, because obviously the bereavement process is a very difficult one for people, and it needs to be as fast and as streamlined as possible, because it's a harrowing thing for people to go through. So anywhere that we can make a difference to get that information out quickly is really important. So we're always building on that. We're always working with partners to make things better. The beauty of having a portal-based system is that, you know, we will get responses back and into the portal for people to view their report far quicker than if they all had to write off to different institutions. And they certainly wouldn't write to over 200 of them anyway. No probate management person would do that. The average solicitor writes to a handful of financial institutions they know have stuff for their client, and a few more like the DWP, and that's it. And they don't always get a response. So the beauty of this technology is it does speed up the process. You know, really within 30 days, you've got a very decent report and a view of what assets are in the estate, although the search lasts for 45 days. And actually some of the FIs come back extraordinarily quickly. If I look at a search that's been uploaded live in the last, say, 48 hours, you know, that there's many, many, many responses that have come in already. So it is a far quicker process than doing it manually. And we are always looking at ways to make that quicker. And so to that end, we're working very closely with the financial institutions to expand the use of the portal on their end so that the process can be even quicker.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly seen some results come in very quickly. It's incredible, really. And we talk about, so it's all done online. So obviously, even when you're writing off, you're collecting in that post and uploading it onto the portal. So from an executor's point of view, whoever's placing the search, they get all of that sort of consolidated and aggregated online in a portal, which is handy. Yeah. It might be useful just to give an overview of what a sort of financial asset report looks like in its entirety when it comes back to, so we can add some sort of tangible narrative to it so people can see what they might expect if they did perform one.
Yeah, absolutely. So the key thing to say about this is that you don't have to sit and wait for the report to be complete. So you are not submitting the cert and then sitting back for 45 days and then logging in and seeing your final report. It's actually live and building as you sit there. So from the first day that you submit the cert, you can then log back into your account. And you can see the responses that have come in. You can see which financial institutions have replied, which haven't. Which have replied with a match, which ones have replied with a no match, which means they can't find anything for the deceased with them. And that's all building in the report. So the great thing is the report is a live and moving piece of information. There's always sitting around waiting for the final thing. We always recommend that when you get to about 30 days, you can go in and look at the report and pretty much be happy that that's complete. We give it 45 days for any stragglers, and then we send a notification out to the client to say that the report's due to close. They can still view all their historical reports online, and quite simply the report will show, under the name of the deceased, a list of financial institutions that have responded, what their response is, whether it's a match or no match, and usually and quite often some further information about where to go to claim that asset, so who they need to get in contact with. So for example, let's say Lloyds Bank have responded and they say yes, there's a bank account. They don't give any personal information. We don't get details of value. We don't get details of account numbers or sort codes or policy numbers. What we get is a simple yes, we have something here, or no, we don't. If they have something, it will often say phone this number, email this email address, which will be their bereavement department, and here's a reference number for you to quote. So where there is additional information for the search submitter to go and access that money, it's there. So it's just a really good pointer. But as I've said, it's also proof of the response, which you will need later down the line, potentially. So it's a very easy to see report with all the salient information on. And then you can save that to your file, you can print it off, you can forward it to your client, you can do whatever you want with it.
There's huge benefits to that, because the scope is huge, isn't it? You mentioned 200 institutions, 350 plus databases, and if you get 10 matches back, say for an example out of that, then you've filtered through a massive raft of potential asset holders. You just, the best will in the world, you would never be able to write off to on your own as part of the estate administration process. So it's huge benefit, really.
Yeah, no, it is, and you wouldn't. And what's really interesting from talking to solicitors directly is this really kind of overcomes different scenarios in different charging models, because, for example, some solicitors will charge, and this is usually the model, a combination of a percentage of the estate's their fee, the final estate, but also a per letter fee. So one of my clients said to me, I only have to write four letters and I've already spent kind of £150. And obviously that comes out of the value of the estate. So although it's more money for the solicitor, in actual fact, it's more of a headache. So to conduct the search actually makes far more sense monetarily as well, because you are very likely to increase the value of the estate because you're almost certainly not going to know about everything. To give this stat, which I think is really, really key here, Anthony, 90% of financial asset searches through inheritance data show up a missing asset. So when people say, my clients know where everything is, they clearly don't. And we also know they don't because of the amount of money that's missing. So I think, that's a phenomenal stat that's worth bearing in mind, isn't it?
That's quite a remarkable stat.
I'm hoping that... I'm going to do a search on myself as a living person, which is a different type of search, and I'm kind of hoping that some sort of massive pot of gold might show up that I've forgotten about. In all seriousness, and this is an extreme example, but it's one that's great to use because it's real and it actually happened. About a year and a half ago, we did have a search that actually showed up £1 million asset that the person didn't know about. And it was actually some shares that had grown in value over time, some shares that were bought in some kind of American tobacco company or some sort of similar company way back in kind of the 1940s. And this lady had died. She'd totally forgotten she'd bought these shares. And they had increased in value so much over the time that they were worth £1 million. So her beneficiaries were very pleased that we'd done a financial asset search.
I'm sure they were. You know, we hear with assets and things like that, they're going through the loft, the big boxes of paper, and suddenly you stumble across hundreds of share certificates that you didn't know mum or dad had or something like that, and there's huge values on them that have just been forgotten. So again, it's another tool, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's a very common problem.
Okay, well, we can all hope for a discovery like that. So I think we've established there's a huge amount of unclaimed funds held by banks, and I guess the question is, do you have any predictions on what will happen to these funds? And I guess thinking about obviously PPI was a thing for quite some time, and that bridged over the estate practitioner's world, and obviously there's a cut-off time for dealing with it. We're in a global pandemic and accruing a lot of debt currently, so the government, I'm sure, is going to be looking at any area that they can. Do you think it's going to be an area of increased scrutiny in the future?
Yes, I do, Anthony, and indeed it is already. So the simple answer, what happens to this money if it's not claimed or if it's not repatriated, is it just remains unclaimed. And it just sits within the financial institutions, you know, in some cases accumulating interest off the back of that. But some of your listeners may be aware that we've just had the passing in Parliament of the Dormant Assets Scheme. So this is something that's been worked on for some time and is effectively a scheme to help to push for repatriation of some of this money. It doesn't cover NS&I, unfortunately, National Savings and Investments, but it does cover bank accounts, shares, and also assets managed by asset managers. So what the scheme is going to basically create is an opportunity for people to claim funds that have previously been unclaimed. So banks and the pension providers will have to provide details of all these unclaimed funds, and somehow there'll have to be an access point for people to, you know, whether that's a sort of national database for people to go in and claim these missing funds. And if they, you know, whatever's left, there is talk of that money then being given to charity, which from conversations that I've had with people in the industry, I think we all find a bit of a challenge. There's a real moral question around that, isn't there? It isn't actually their money. It's not the government's money. It's not the financial institution's money. It's money that belongs to families somewhere down the line. And so the decision to move that money into a pot of charity, if after, say, a given time period, once this dormant asset scheme is launched and people haven't claimed, I think it's, you know, I think people need to make up their minds what they feel about that. But it's a step in the right direction. We support it. What it will do is it will actually, I think, cast much more light on what we've been talking about here today. And it will absolutely, if the point hasn't already been driven home to people, bring into sort of sharp view the need to do an asset search, because this is going to create a big can of worms, actually. You know, once the dormant asset scheme gets going, people, you know, are given the opportunity to reclaim their asset, they are going to, of course, happen to have their probate file reopened. So, you know, essentially, there's going to be a lot of cases having to be reopened, thousands of them, in fact. This is going to mean that new charges are going to be incurred. solicitors, probate administrators, they're going to have to reopen files for their clients to deal with this new money that's been found. It really is going to create a big headache for people who didn't find the assets the first time around. So, you know, we can't do anything about the past, but we can all prevent this from happening, and we can all help to diminish that massive pot that's sitting there amongst these asset providers in the future by making sure that when we're administering an estate, we are doing a proper search for all the assets at the time. And as I mentioned earlier, even if something is missed because of the response from the financial institution, whether it's wrong or whether they miss something or they don't reply, then actually you are covered by doing an asset search because you've got that warranty which enables you to go back, reopen the file, claim any extra costs in reopening it, as I said, up to 6 years after the case is closed. So the protection is all there. We just need to make sure the best practice and the behaviour kind of follows that, really.
Absolutely. So I'm talking about preemptive action, I guess, and all the things you're talking about. I think it is a step in the right direction. The result of the action is open to debate, as you suggest, and I think it's probably fair to say we've got to this situation because I think financial institutions have always had to make best efforts, haven't they, to reunify funds. But when we're talking about the overall figure, that could be comprised of bank accounts that have got £10 in them, and I think best efforts can extend to writing off to the last known address, and if you don't get reply, then you've demonstrated best efforts essentially, and so you end up with this huge pot. It's in the right direction, but I think the key thing here is what you can do preemptively. I think that's the real benefit, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, better to cut the problem off at the source before it begins, as they say in the medical industry. Prevention is better than cure, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay. Obviously, it's a growing area, and you've spoken about a few developments and things like that. So, what's next? What's on the horizon for future developments in this area?
So, in terms of us, inheritance data, this is going to be a really exciting year for us. We have a lot of different things in the pipeline. We've been sort of the UK leading asset search for some time, financial asset search, which is great. But we've seen an increased demand from our clients for other types of searches that can be applied in different situations. So, I'm thinking particularly in situations where a lasting power of attorney is in place, where a deficit order is in place or a court of protection order, and being able to do an asset search in those circumstances so that the living can actually get a better idea of what their assets are before they pass away, which will, of course, you know, help us again. It's another preventative measure for making sure that when somebody dies, they actually do know where all their assets are, you know, and they have been able to name them in the will, they have got the paperwork together. So it's approaching it from a different angle. So we will be very, very shortly launching our power of attorney search, which we know clients are very excited to start doing. And I think you'll see further developments from us as the year goes by, and you'll also see some strong partnerships emerging, which I'm not able to obviously talk about in a lot of detail right now, but obviously, you know, we'll be in the press as always in today's wills and probate, you know, and on LinkedIn and various other places sort of making those announcements. And you know, it's really just a case of responding to our clients' needs and working with people in the industry, and there's lots of, you know, great people in the industry working on the bereavement process, working to make it more smooth, working to make it shorter, less painful for families, and working to make sure that money gets into the hands of these people. And we're great, you know, we're grateful for being able to work with these guys, and just to be part of the wider industry conversation. I think if we all work together and we all, you know, develop as much as we can to be part of that process, then we will see things pulling together. And I think as an overview, as I mentioned earlier, for me, I feel I'm now watching what happened in the conveyancing space years ago start to happen in the probate space. It's long overdue for some technological revolution. It's long overdue for some streamlining of processes. You know, and I think COVID has particularly shown us where a lot of these delays take place and has exacerbated those processes and made them worse. So it's shone a light on the industry. So I think some of the things we're developing, the products we're launching, will help to alleviate some of those issues. And I think it's going to be a really exciting year for everyone in this space. I think it's going to be a lot of change, a lot of innovation, and we're going to see a real shake up in the sector.
Agreed. And there's some really exciting things in there. I think that the power of attorney, the lifetime searches, aligns to a lot of the messaging we give in terms of dealing with assets in lifetime being so much easier than if left too late. And costs can be quite eye-opening, I think. So the more we can do in that area, the more beneficial it will be collectively.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree.
Okay. Well, Emma, thank you very much for joining us. That was really, really interesting. Look forward to seeing all of these developments come to fruition in the near future. And thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure too, Anthony. Thank you for having me.